Good morning, Long Beach Alliance Church. Welcome to week number two of the coronavirus pandemic church in your living room and Pastor Chris on video weeks that we have here at Long Beach Alliance. It is good to be with you. I'm really looking forward to this morning. We're going to be in Romans chapter 10. You should open your Bibles right now to that. You should have one of the outlines either on an electronic device or in your hands, and you'll want to open up to Romans chapter 10. We're going to be starting in verse 14. Why don't I read that for us right now? Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long, I've held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Let's take a minute before we dive in to pray. God, I pray this morning that you would open up your word to each one of us. That God, we would not take for granted that we've heard this before. God, we would not even assume that it's too confusing for me to understand. God, I pray whether it is a child that is in the room or an adult that is in the room, that God, each of us would come to you and ask you for illumination this morning. We thank you, God, for all that you have given us. We even thank you for the difficulties that we face right now during this coronavirus pandemic. God, we pray that you would be at work in each one of us, and that you would be at work in our community. And God, we do pray that you would be bringing healing to those who are sick, that you'd be bringing healing to this community, and that, God, you would restore us back into fellowship together at Long Beach Alliance Church, where we get to see each other, high-five each other, hug one another, and really get to be enjoying what it means to be the church. We thank you for these things, and we look forward to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. Well, sometimes God's gracious offer of salvation can almost seem like it's a little cheap, like it's simplified so much that in reality, we look at it and it just seems like that's so easy to obey. It's so simple for me to follow. I remember when I was a kid, people would say, do you want to go to hell or do you want to go to heaven? Well, that was a very easy decision for me to make. Of course I wanted to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell. And so based on that fear, or based on just the logic of such an easy decision, I would once again pray the sinner's prayer and ask God to come into my heart. That process, though, was somehow cheapened. I wasn't getting the whole story. And as I got older, I felt a little ripped off. Sometimes I think when we read Romans chapter 10, verse 13, we could walk away with that kind of an impression. Take a look in your Bible. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13 is often used as just being a very simple explanation of the gospel, but sometimes it can be taken out of its context. And when it's plucked out of its context, it can end up meaning something that is not really truly intended. The Apostle Paul was sensitive to the potential distraction, the potential that this could diminish the riches of salvation by having it be too simplified. So he takes one of the phrases that's in Romans 10:13, that concept of calling on the Lord's name, and he's going to unpack it. He's going to expound on it, expand a little bit on what it really means in order to allow the reader to fully appreciate the simplicity of that sentence in Romans 10:13. His way of going about doing that is to ask four kind of dramatic, rhetorical questions that there's not really an answer expected. You kind of understand the answer just by reading the question. But in the process, he's going to be making a point that he is going to illustrate beautifully at the end by quoting from a passage of the Old Testament. It's kind of a curious passage. It's an interesting passage. And so we'll take a look at that in just a second. But the first thing I want to do is kind of recap those four questions that Paul asks, and starting in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? There's question number one. And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? Question two. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Question three. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Question four. The intent of these rhetorical questions shouldn't be missed. What Paul is really trying to capture is that it is no small thing for a person to actually respond to the gospel. It might seem very simple in verse 13, but he wants to unpack that in reality, God is at work in many dramatic ways. Well, first off, in order for a person to be saved, they have to respond in faith and believe the gospel message. That's the first rhetorical question. Secondly, in order for a person to believe the gospel, they've got to hear the truth of the gospel in their ears and in their own hearts. In order to understand and hear that truth of the gospel, there has to be someone that is proclaiming that truth, that is sharing it with them. And in order for someone to be proclaiming the gospel, that means that a group of Christians, a group of like-minded people have gotten together and actually empowered or sent out people to proclaim the gospel to a neighbor, to a community, to a far away land. These four things are no small task, and they're kind of captured in that Old Testament quote that the Apostle Paul is going to share. Let's take a look at it. Romans 10:15, the second part. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. This was a quote from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. It's interesting because it's set into a passage that's really talking about Israel coming back to God and how beautiful it would be for the one who is proclaiming that God is God in Zion, that God is the God of heaven, he is the God of earth, he is the God of the whole universe, that someone was going to come and proclaim that truth. And how wonderful that would be, how beautiful their very feet, not something that we usually associate with beauty, the very feet of the person that would be walking up the mountain to proclaim the good news to people, that would be walking across the desert, making the journey, their very feet were beautiful because they were carrying words of the gospel. Well, what's the point of the Apostle Paul using that passage? It's pretty straightforward, really. He's trying to make the point that Israel is supposed to be the one listening to this message, but in reality, it is the Gentiles, the people that are non-Jewish, that have heard the message and have responded. What Paul's trying to put together there is that these new apostles, these new people that are sharing about the gospel to the Gentiles in new ways, in new places, in places that had never been thought of before, they are the fulfillment of that passage that was meant for the Jew, but has now been extended to all of the world through the Jews, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, in a quick glance at Romans 10:13, it would be very easy to just think, oh, that's the gospel right there. There's no helplessness of slavery to sin or death. There's no messiness of a cross or the crucifixion. There's no defiled innocence of Jesus Christ when the sins of the world are poured out on him, or the strict demands of obedience, of discipleship that are expected of one who follows Jesus Christ. See, all those things are not mentioned in that verse. And Paul wants to make the point in the verses that follow that in reality, that simple summary is capturing all of those things. He is trying to say that even though the summary of this verse is very simple, that all we need to do is believe and call out for salvation, a quote from the book of Joel, even though that's all that we need to do, what it involves is a great amount of effort by God. Why is that significant? Because Paul doesn't want us to just take a glance at one verse. He wants us to experience the fullness of what God is doing here. It's like a deep or a solid footing underneath a large building. You know, they have to go down deep into the ground. They have to get down there into the bedrock, and they lay footings down that provide an even and safe foundation for the rest of the building to be built up. God was the one who sent his anointed son, Jesus Christ, to come into the world and to proclaim the truth of the gospel. He proclaims it to those that can hear his voice. And when one hears and listens and believes in their heart, they call out to God for salvation. And when they do, God promises that he will rescue them. This is no small thing that God has done. He has done it by the blood of sacrifice that Jesus Christ provided on the cross. And it's only when we have a relationship with God through the sacrifice of Jesus that we can actually experience peace with God, that we can move from being a people that are ignoring God, that are living in disobedience to God, that are people that are hostile towards God, into a good relationship with Jesus, a good relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. This is what moves us from being people that are in rebellion to God, people that are called sinners in the Bible, and it moves us to become proclaimers, people who it can also be said of, their feet are beautiful because they carry good news. In some ways, the good news can be carried with the words that we share. But you know, you might find these days that the good news is better carried in the ways that you display love towards your neighbors. My daughter took cards out this last week, cards that we provided in the last email that we sent out to everybody. She took cards out to all of our neighbors. I think she took around 20 of them in total, to all of the neighbors that are in our area. And while I was getting out of my truck and walking into my house the day that she had done that, three neighbors descended on me from different parts of our neighborhood to tell me thank you. Thank you for sending your daughter to go and deliver that message to us, that you guys are there to help. We just want you to know we don't need anything, but we're just really, really pleased that you guys reached out. And we just want you to know that if there's anything that you need, we also could help you out. She got a phone message from another neighbor who we didn't even know was a follower of Christ, who reached out to us and just really gave us an encouraging message of hope. These are the kinds of things that happen when we reach out, when we display the gospel, not so much in the things we say, but by the things we do. It means going and getting groceries for somebody that just can't find eggs anywhere or bread anywhere. It means doing something for a neighbor when you notice that their weeds are building up and they can't do anything about it. We have one neighbor that lives across the street from us whose husband just went into the hospital a week ago with heart failure. Well, we want to help her out as much as possible, so we offer to do her shopping for her, to take care of things around the house when she has to go meet with her husband, when she's going to the hospital and things like that. These are the ways that Christians respond. We don't respond that way because we're just into good works, or we just want to do right, or we want to make sure that, you know, Jesus has got a little bit of a sparkly shine to him. We do it because that's what God has done for us. God sent his son out of the comforts of heaven in a place of perfection to you and me, in a world devastated by sin, into a world where nobody wanted to listen to the gospel of what God was really doing in the world. It was into that world where nobody was following God that God sent his son Jesus like a sheep to be slaughtered into this world so that he could sacrificially live, not only in the words that he shared, but in the things that he displayed, which authenticated his words so that the world might know that the gospel was true. Is it not beautiful? Is it not beautiful to read about Jesus and the words that he carried? Is it not wonderful to think about the ways that he's changed our lives? This is beauty indeed, that God came out of heaven to reach to you, and that you have been called to reach outside of your home, outside of a pandemic, outside of all of the things that we are experiencing right now, outside of your circumstances, to say that Jesus is most important. And that is the one I'm going to respond to, not to fear, not to hoarding, not to making sure that I'm in line at the grocery store at 6 a.m. just for me, but to say, I'm going to serve, I'm going to give, I'm going to reach out in a way that tells the whole world that who I am and who I am about is all about Jesus Christ. And if they won't listen to my words, they will have to just simply appreciate my actions. And maybe someday, maybe by the grace of God, someday they will listen in a moment of truth, and they will not just hear with their ears, but they will hear with their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. That can be authenticated by your life. And I'm calling you to it, not because I just want you to do nice things and make Jesus look bright and shiny, but because that's what God has done for us. And that's the point of this passage, that what God does is no small thing. He has been working in dramatic ways over thousands of years just to bring salvation into your home, just to bring you into a place where you can walk with God. What he has done is a beautiful, wonderful, tender, loving thing. And our response to this means everything to God. Why? Well, the truth is, when we share the gospel with other people, not everybody's going to believe. Not everybody's going to respond. Not everybody listens with their heart. A lot of times they just listen with their ears so they can argue with you. Why is that significant? Let's take a look at those next verses. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This was a quote from Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? When you've shared your faith with somebody and they don't respond, it can be heartbreaking, can it? It's disillusioning. It's a bummer when someone listens to the most important thing in the universe and then they just say, I don't really care, or I don't really believe you, or they want to argue about the age of the earth, or whether or not abortion is right, or whether or not you believe that homosexuality is okay. They immediately take the conversation off in 20 different directions instead of just simply talking about Christ, talking about who he is in your heart and life, and who he could be in theirs. But of course, these verses are included right after that dramatic, wonderful explanation of all that God has put into the gospel, because this is how it works. Not everybody is going to respond. I mean, think about it. Jesus came and not everybody responded to him. In fact, most people didn't respond to Jesus Christ. The verses that are used from Isaiah 53:1 are verses about the coming Messiah. The reason that Paul uses Isaiah 53:1 is to make the point that the Messiah came and people didn't even respond to him. So when you go out and you are treated the same way, that is going to be the natural thing that is going to happen. There are going to be people that are not going to respond positively to the gospel about Jesus Christ. There are going to be people that are actually hostile toward the gospel of Jesus Christ and are going to yell at you. These things are not natural for us. We don't go running into those kinds of situations. So the apostle gives us these verses to point us back, not to look at ourselves, not to look at other people, but to keep our eyes on Jesus. If Jesus has authored your faith, if he is perfecting who you are, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, if that's the process that you and I are in with Jesus Christ, then we should look to Jesus and see how he handled those that rejected him. The reality is we can focus on those who reject. We can even focus on our own feelings, our insecurities, our fears, our own angers, our willingness to fight or to come up with a good argument, or we can focus on Jesus. The Apostle Paul is inviting us to focus on Jesus. Why is that? Is that just to kind of go, well, you know, if you look at Jesus, it won't hurt so much. If you look at Jesus, you won't be as bummed out or you won't be as scared anymore. Those things might happen, and honestly, those things might not happen. The real reason that he wants us to focus on Jesus is because there's beauty there. There's beauty in looking at the one who has worked so very, very hard toward your salvation, who came out of heaven and sacrificed everything on your behalf. There is beauty in the one who has carried the gospel to you and me. Even the feet of those that carry the gospel of good news are beautiful. And when we look at the effort that God is making, this is where we can truly appreciate the beauty, not in the result, but in the God who is faithful, even to those who will reject him. Paul's essentially saying, don't get over-focused on all of the results, on the people that do not respond. Be focused on those people that do respond. Even better, take a look in the mirror. Take a look in the spiritual mirror of your life. You know who's staring back at you? A person who used to be hostile towards God. A person who hated God. A person who was selfish and didn't want anything to do with God. But it says in Romans chapter 5, that even though that was true of you, that God loved you while you were still sinning against him, while you were steeped in the midst of your sin, even knowing what a mess you and I would be in this life, God still loved us. He still reached out to us. He still did incredible things, things that we will only discover when we go to heaven and see all of the efforts that God made to reach out to you and to me. Look in that spiritual mirror and do not forget that God reached out to you. And there is an absolute beauty in a God that would do such a thing. There is a wonder in seeing the feet of the one who carried the good news to you. And maybe God even used someone in your life. Have you said thank you to them? Have you appreciated the good news carrier, the proclaimer, the one that brought the good news into your front door and lived it out in your life so that you would experience Jesus? I mean, let's face it. It's just a person that has been given the message to deliver to you, that was given the message from somebody else and somebody else all the way back to the very beginning. It's God who is the real champion. It is God who deserves all the glory. But let's also appreciate those people in our lives, parents, teachers, Sunday school teachers, people that maybe have already gone on to heaven, people that we maybe don't even remember anymore that shared the gospel with us. Their very feet, those ugly feet that they have, that we have, that all people, those feet are beautiful because they carried the gospel to you and me. Focus on this. Focus on the truth that you listened. That you listened not with your ears, you listened with your heart, and that maybe, by the grace of God, maybe, the people that are in our lives that do not know Jesus yet, maybe they will also hear with their hearts about the gospel of Jesus Christ. God did a million things to bring you into his family. Those things are beautiful because of the one who brings the message of salvation. Concentrate on these things There are many distractions, but there is one great God who is passionately, like the hound of heaven that he is, passionately has pursued you and won you and secured you for now and forevermore. Do not be distracted by those things which could steal your joy. Look at all that God has done and revel in the beauty of the one who is reaching out even to those who do not love him, even to those who are still sinners. We get to be in relationship with a God that loves everyone and is pouring out his heart for people, even when they don't know it. I guess the thing that I want you to hear the most is I am calling on you to be like the one who did a million things to win you to himself. Be like him. When you proclaim the gospel, when you do things that display the gospel in your neighborhood, when you take this pandemic and you use it for the sake of the gospel, you are being more like Jesus than at any other time in your life. You are literally walking in his footsteps. And when we walk in his footsteps, we get to experience something of the beauty of Jesus Christ in our lives. Who is it that you need to reach out to? Who is it that needs to hear the gospel? Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. Once again, go out and share the gospel with them. And if they reject you, have that as an expectation for all people who share the gospel. Imagine what it was like. Imagine what it is like to be God and to see so many people rejecting him. Is that where God keeps his focus? No. He is in a love relationship with you and with me. This is where the focus of God is, and on moving us out to share that gospel so that other people can get to enjoy that love as well. When I was a younger man, back, I think it was in one of my first couple of years in Biola, I will never forget standing at the bottom of the staircase in the house that I grew up in, and my mom was standing up at the top of the staircase. And I was complaining about my father, and I was complaining about my father about some of the things that he had done to my mom. And I just told her, I just don't know if he'll ever know God. I just can't believe it. I can't believe that God is ever going to call a guy that has done those things to you, the mother that I love, that I just couldn't believe that God would be able to overcome the sins of my father, sins that were against me, my sisters, but most of all, they were against my mother. And I will never forget. I will never forget what she said. She said, you know, Chris, when I really saw how much I had sinned against God, I realized that the sins of your father against me didn't matter anymore. What really mattered was that I was a sinner in front of God and that he was willing to forgive me. And if God would forgive me of so much, I was responsible to also forgive your father. I don't hold things against your father because God has not held my sins against me. And Chris, you should think about these things, because I believe that's how God would want you to think about your father as well. Man, that is a truth that I carry to this day, that God has forgiven me of so many, many things. I don't hold other people's sins against them. Don't get me wrong. They bother me. I get angry. I react in ways that show my selfishness and show that I have got a very, very long way to go. But I come back to Jesus. See, when I focus on Jesus, I don't see all of those things because I just see a sinner who has been saved. One that belongs to a king that has been adopted into a family that has had his name changed, not just temporarily, but forever. I am in a relationship with God because Jesus didn't hold my sins against me. I have to remember that when I go to other people and I think, is this person going to respond to the message of salvation that I carry? Or are they going to be responsive? Are they going to be receptive? Are they going to hear with their hearts and not just with their ears? It's none of my concern. God doesn't concern himself with these things. God pours out his heart, even while we were sinners, knowing that someday we will respond. And I pray that my Father and all the other people out there, all the people that you know, that I know, that we are connected to, that do not know Jesus, that they will respond to Jesus Christ before they die. Because I would hate to be the person that falls down on their knees and declares that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God is the God of the universe, that the Bible said that he is, when it's too late. I desire, like my God, I desire that everybody would know God in this life, that they would know Jesus Christ, the one that God sent, that they would know his sacrifice and they would trust in his life. I desire for people to come to know him, but they will not know him unless I go, unless I proclaim, unless they hear, and unless I myself have been saved and carry that message to the world around me. This is my task. This is my job. You know, there's a reason that the Apostle Paul points out these verses from the Old Testament and in here in the New Testament in Romans. You know, in Romans 10:13, all the way through the end of the chapter, he has seven different Old Testament quotes. Part of the reason for doing that is because he also wants to return us to that focus on Israel, God's chosen people, his firstborn children. We've been adopted into the family, those of us that are Gentiles, that are non-Jewish, but God's firstborn, the Jews, they have rejected him. They have been rebellious against God. Let's kind of catch up with some of those Old Testament passages right down there in the text in verse 18. Paul asks, have they not heard? Indeed, they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. And then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. Of course, part of Paul's point in mentioning the Old Testament is to point out how very, very hard and how very, very diligently and how over a very, very long period of time, God has been working toward the salvation of his people. But he also wants to point out that his people have heard, that the whole world has heard and is without excuse. God, though, is like any human father. He laments over the hearts of his children, and he has great sorrow over the fact that they are rejecting him. And so he has gone to a foolish nation. He has gone to a foreign people. That's you and me. We get to be the fools. We get to be the ones who weren't actually seeking God, like it says earlier in chapter 10. The Gentiles who had not been seeking after righteousness. Are we saying that by faith they have found righteousness? This is exactly God's plan, not just for our benefit, which it is, but also for the benefit of his firstborn children, so that they would see the relationship that we have with God and would become jealous of it, that they would be drawn because they're drawn back towards the loving heart of a good, good father. God is actively at work in stirring the hearts of Israel back to himself. He wants them to come back to him. And the result of that, the result of God's efforts, will be covered more in chapter 11. But like it says in number 3, letter C, there is a beauty that we can appreciate. Take a look at that last verse, because it captures a lament, but it also it captures something that I think you'll understand in the context of the verses that we've been looking at. Romans chapter 10, verse 21 says, "But of Israel," he says, "all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." Why does this chapter end on such a sad lament? We could be overwhelmed by the fact that Israel has not responded to God, or we could take it in the context of what this chapter has been about, and that is appreciating the wonder and the beauty of a God who doesn't stop reaching out to people. A God who said in verse 13 that the gospel is for all people, for everyone who will cry out to the Lord for rescue. The gospel is for them. Is it something small that he has done? Not at all. God has done wondrous things to win the lost. Is Israel still lost in their sins, in their rebellion? Yes, in fact, it's part of the reason that God has reached out to the Gentiles. But we do not lament. We do not lament in those that have not received the gospel. We celebrate in the one who reaches out, the one whose arms are open, the one whose hands have been reaching out throughout all of history to reach his people. The beauty of the people that are reached, that's not the focus here. The beauty is on the one who is walking up mountains, who is walking across valleys, who reaches out to us in our homes, who is consistently and always coming to us with open arms, welcoming us into his family, welcoming us into a loving relationship with him. You and I have a choice to make. We can focus on all the things that are wrong with people in our culture. We can focus on all the things that are bad going on around us, or we can focus on the gospel, that there is one who has reached out to you. And that one who reached out to you called you into the same mission of reaching out to others. We can focus on the non-responsiveness of the world around us, or we can focus on the beauty of the one that consistently and always reaches out to people in love. This is true beauty, that despite rejection, God still continues to love and pursue people, all people, in the name of the gospel. This is true beauty, that despite rejection, the gospel, God himself continues to reach out to all people with the loving invitation and the loving welcome of come in to the family of God. No matter what, we appreciate the beauty of the one who continually reaches out in love to all people in all places, despite all circumstances. Respond to the God that has loved you and has called you to love others.